All right. Good morning and welcome to IBD Live, where we help you make more money in the stock market every day. I think today's going to be more about capital preservation, but we shall see. Obviously, it's a very volatile market right now. I'm Ed Carson, news editor at IBD, and with me today is Justin Nielsen, head of market research, David Saito Chung, deputy markets editor, and Chris Gessel, chief content officer. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Econ Ed. Happy Tuesday, man.
Happy Tuesday. Yeah. And so a little different again. David Ryan again is not on today's show, but he will be on this week. He's going to be on Thursday's show. And then we'll have Charles Harris on Friday. So it's like a lot of things that we want to pay attention to late in the week. We'll see if we get some any clarity in where the market is by that time. Please leave your comments and questions below. We'll try to get to as many as possible. We do have a number of people in dark ops this morning. I just remember that we can't answer any questions that reflect your individual situation, needs, or objectives. Please check out investors.com/IBDLiveFAQ. That's where you can find upcoming guests. You can also that's where we you know Justin Nielsen, we get a link to Justin Nielsen's industry group spreadsheet that he often goes over early in the week. So that's a lot of great information. What's moving up and down. And then finally, remember that IBD Live is for informational purposes only. Any stocks we cover should not be considered buy or sell recommendations. Please do your own research. And I got to say, I like this group, especially because I've known you guys pretty much the whole time I've been at IBD, and this is my 29th anniversary of
Oh, happy anniversary. What is today?
being at IBD. So,
Okay. Wow. Happy 29th, Ed. You still
yeah,
look
so.
29 too.
Yeah, well, I was they
That's
fished me out of a barn, when I was a child and put me in the press room. with all that,
Trained him from a young age.
yeah, sure. That's what I'll say. Justin, what would you like to take a look at today?
Well, it's again not much that's looking attractive despite the upside reversals of yesterday. So oil seems to be one of those areas that is doing okay, but even that could be volatile. But MPC was setting up. That's
MPC.
Marathon Petroleum.
Very good. And Chris, do you have something for us?
Like Justin, I'm looking at an oil stock, CNX Resources. CNX is the ticker.
Gotcha. Yeah. And David, are you going to make it a trio?
Absolutely. Let's look at a stock that's actually done very well on leaderboard. It's called TechnipFMC, merger of two large companies in oil exploration technologies, and the ticker is FTI.
All right. Well, we'll definitely get to that. And obviously, there's a lot of reasons why oil stocks are doing well right now. Futures not looking good. Down SPY down 1.7. We had the upside reversal, or at least a mixed session, yesterday. Dow was down 1.8. The Qs, I think, are down 2% or so. Russell 2000, IWM, that's down 2.5%. The 10-year Treasury yield, that's moving around. I think the last time I'd seen it was at 4.1. So concerns about that. So we're getting higher, higher future, higher rates, higher energy prices. It's 4.11 right now. So really been selling off before that. We'll get that coming up. USO, that is up 8%. And so futures are up 7-8%. UNG, and this is US natural gas, making this very clear. This is up 6%. But European natural gas is up. I saw it. It was like a couple hours ago, so I'm sure it's changed. But it was up 90% in 2 days. So that is because they rely heavily on LNG from the Mid East. Yes, they get a lot from the U.S., but Qatar they cut they've halted production on a major LNG facility. So that is the Strait of Hormuz is basically shut down, or people don't want to go through it. So that is a huge impact there. Gold, and again, this can be the things. Gold is down pretty solidly. I think silver was down even more. I don't know why these are down. You think they might be safe havens, but maybe people are rushing into the dollar, especially with rates higher up. Bitcoin, that is also down. That had gotten a bounce yesterday, so a lot of that stuff going on. South Korea's KOSPI index was down. But what is the ticker for the Korean ETF, but
I think it's EWY.
EWY. Anyway, the KOSPI was down 7 point. Thank you very much. So that, look at that, down 11.7%. And I think the KOSPI was down like 7%. Samsung, basically Samsung and SK Hynix are like 40% or so of this fund. Samsung was down nearly 10%. SK Hynix, another memory chip giant, down 11.5%. So you're seeing things like SanDisk, and Micron and so on, that, a lot of them did relatively well yesterday, not so much. Of course, lots of things are down. Viking Holdings, it seemed like pretty good numbers. And this is actually holding up pretty well. Beat views, slightly beat on revenue, 27%. It seemed like the bookings and other things were strong. I didn't dig into it, but looked like pretty good stuff, on that front. You're seeing some acceleration on the revenue side the last couple of quarters, 18, 19, now 27. Target, TGT, easily beat on EPS. In line on revenue, a 1.5% decline. It guided current fiscal year sales slightly higher, like up 2%, just fractionally higher. Guided up on EPS. Obviously, the RS line on this one hasn't been doing great. Best Buy beat on EPS, missed on revenue. It seemed to guide slightly lower on the new fiscal year, but the stock is bouncing. Medline, this has been the medical supplier IPO that was doing very well. It's come down, and well, today, private equity shareholders are going to sell 75 million shares. So that one's getting hit on that news. Some NVIDIA news. Bloomberg is reporting that yesterday the US is mulling capping H200 sales at 75,000 per China buyer. Now, keep in mind, NVIDIA hasn't sold anything. So it's a little bit like capping how many times I'm allowed to dunk the basketball. Is it really relevant to put a cap on my dunking since I can't dunk? So I don't know. That doesn't really matter. Meanwhile, Akamai, AKAM, has bought thousands of NVIDIA Blackwell GPUs. I mean, people are buying the GPUs, so nobody's really, that's not a big surprise. MongoDB, this was one of the only software companies that was holding above its 200-day line. Well, not anymore. It beat views, so you're seeing accelerating growth the last quarter, 29%, 27%. It guided higher on fiscal 2027 EPS, but slightly lower on revenue. And this, there is no mercy for this stock. Credo, you think, okay, well, certainly Credo here, they beat views, still 201.5% revenue growth, guided up on fiscal Q4 revenue. I did see something that the adjusted gross margin forecast was just a hair light at the midpoint, but nonetheless, I mean, this is what's happening here. Meanwhile, Dave, this fintech, it slightly missed on EPS, just beat on revenue 62%. It did guide up on the current year. So this is doing well. ASTS, AST Space Mobile. This is moving up a little bit, wider than expected loss, 2,728% revenue gain, solidly beats. I mean, obviously, it's versus almost nothing, but it did beat by quite a bit. Lunar, LNUR. That one is down, even though it's been selected by L3Harris, LHX, to develop some space platforms as part of some kind of contract involving the Space Development Agency. LHX has been doing pretty well. STNE, a Brazilian payments firm, that's down pretty sharply. Full year adjusted gross profit rose a little bit less than expected. TDW, Tidewater, this one's doing well. Crushed GAAP EPS views, 2% revenue drop, slightly beat, raised its guidance. Viper Energy, it's down a little bit. It's selling a bunch of stock for its sort of parent, FANG, Diamondback, or at least its former parent. So there's that. Harrow, got it badly missed on EPS, 33% revenue gain, just beat it, beat. Seemed to guide low, at least on first half revenue. I wasn't exactly sure. So there you go. AS, Amerisports, sold 20.6 million shares at $36.40 a share to redeem some 2031 debt. Qubit, I think this one just came out. Now they 1 cent loss, just beat. It only had like 0.2 million revenue. It was down 68%. I saw, but I'm not sure this one says is up, but I had seen it. It was down, but anyway, below views. Anyway, this is down. Riot, Bitcoin miner. I think they're still just in Bitcoin mining. Maybe I'm wrong. Revenue up 72% for the year, slightly missed. You can see how the revenue growth had really slowed, is only 7% in Q4. Coors, which is a Bitcoin miner that's been getting into the data miner space, data center space, 42-cent gain versus an expected 16-cent loss, but the 16% revenue drop badly missed. APLD, another data center play, Bitcoin turned to data center, proposed a $2.15 billion senior notes sale. AMRC BeatViews, this is renewable energy plans. BeatViews 9% revenue gain. Oust, which I think does LiDAR, 6 cent profit versus an expected 40 cent loss. So this was doing well. 57% of revenue gain. Crossviews guided up on Q1 revenue. HLIO, 17% revenue gain. This one's been doing pretty well. I'm not sure how it was doing before the open. INGM, Ingram Micro, BeatViews 12% revenue gain. I'm not sure how this was before the open. NRG, they're going to be selling some shares, held by power generation company LS Power. So that one may be down quite a bit today. Looks like that was going to be down, but I'm not sure. SE, Southeast Asian commerce, e-commerce and gaming firm, just beat views on revenue. I guess the guidance wasn't very good. So that's 25%. One on holding, beat views on revenue at least 23%, guided low on 2026 sales. AZO, slightly beat on EPS, slightly missed on revenue, and same store sales. So that's down. Thor, THO, Thor Industries, RV play, so easily beat on EPS, beat on revenue, guided low on EPS and revenue. We're probably going to get auto sales, some auto sales data. We might have already gotten some auto sales, like US auto sales data from companies. Wells Fargo initiated coverage on a bunch of cybersecurity firms. One that's notable was CrowdStrike at overweight, but there's a lot of overweight, underweight equals. Wedbush said it's seeing some, maybe the sales cycle elongate, but hasn't seen any lost deals related to cyber spending. Said that CrowdStrike and Rubrik had the strongest feedback. And I'm mentioning that sort of because CrowdStrike has earnings tonight. So that is relevant for that. Ross Stores also reports tonight that has been doing well, though that is down this morning. We'll also get Box, and that is what I have this morning. So, Chris, we were talking before the open, and we were asking, we're trying to figure out why the market is down. I think oil being up, and but it just feels like vibes are different. Like, it's a little bit like I think the movie War Games, where everybody's, everything's problem, and everybody's cheering, and then somebody notices, hey, wait, somebody's playing tic-tac-toe trying to crack the code or something, like, wait a sec, let's go back to the DEFCON. So what do you take things and how are you handling this very volatile and news-driven market?
Well, my exposure was already fairly low, although I did add a couple things yesterday, but small positions, 2.5%, and those are down. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's just given up gains. So it definitely a tough market when we have these gyrations like this. But the market's, I mean, at least it's trying to come back a little bit. We'll see if it can get some traction here. If we go to the Q's. Go to the intraday chart, maybe just the 1 minute.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of trading.
Yeah.
We're not in free fall. I mean, we had a bad open, but we're not
Well,
free fall there. Yeah.
yeah. So definitely, and looking on the I've got charts with that have the overnight action, and so it's trying to come up above some levels where it was earlier. So I mean, at this point, just the market has been so difficult. I think you gotta, and if you've got something with a big gain, that's a different situation because you can always hedge it. But I think right now, if you're going to do anything, go small and let you just don't know what's going to happen. And like, oil's up today, but it could flip around tomorrow,
Oh yeah, if
this
Trump says we're
afternoon.
going to stop or there's some kind of agreement, you could see oil prices down 20%. I mean, it's just like, or something very rapid. So yeah. And defense stocks too. Defense stocks could give up all their gains. I mean, not saying that'll happen, but it certainly could. So it's makes it very tough. So Justin, how are you handling things right now? And what do you see this market?
Well, following up on your point, when things like that can change so dramatically, again, there's a lot of things that were looking good in the oil space and defense yesterday. And as you mentioned, news can really flip that around very quickly. And that just feels to me like, well, since I don't have any insider information, not that I trade on it anyway, but what do I do there? I don't have any edge. So that's one of the things that does suggest when you don't have an edge, you don't play as hard, right? You just kind of maybe tread water a little bit and wait until you have an opportunity at, or at least a place to swim to. There's no reason to just keep on swimming without kind of knowing what direction to swim to. And right now I feel like that's where we're at. And it's I will say the thing that's been kind of, I think, the most confusing is how strong, I mean, EQAL, this is the Russell 1000. So the top 1000 companies, equal weighted. And this was making new highs yesterday. I mean, yes, it was down a little bit, to start the day, but this was making new highs. This has been trending above its 10-day moving average line. Forget about the 21-day. It's been trending above its 10-day moving average line. And so, it just has a very different picture from the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 that have been really, again, just kind of bobbing their heads back and forth above the 50-day moving average line, 21-day moving average line. The Russell 2000, the small cap index, that came down right to its 50-day moving average line and got support, a really great upside reversal there. So again, as much as there was technical action that that looked good, it's again, where's my edge? And I was doing some buying yesterday, but yeah, that's as Chris said, that's not working out so well today. So I've been mentioning how I personally have been hitting my head on an equity level, I keep on hitting a certain level and then getting turned away. But luckily I had kind of a floor. Well, today I'm kind of dropping through my floor. So I'm not doing I don't want to do panic selling, but yeah, that tells me I need to reduce my exposure another notch.
And just to carry on with the other things, just RSP, which may not have been at a high yesterday, but so close, and acting very well, just like Equal. QQQE, I mean, that had been doing that had, unlike the NASDAQ, was above its 50-day line and wasn't as strong as the others, but showed that even in tech, there was some strength. So
But
if the yeah.
I would kind of put QQQE with, the S&P 500 and the
Yes,
NASDAQ, because
it is
again,
more.
it's
It's
still
more
doing
that
that,
way,
that bobbing. Yeah.
but I guess if you say
Stronger, but
if the indexes were EQLA, RSP, and QQQE, we'd be like, hey, this isn't so bad. I mean,
absolutely.
because if this is the when your laggard is above the 50-day line, that's a different story. That's all. I agree.
Good point.
But yeah. So Hatman, what's your take on things? I assume that you're not liking the way the market's been lately either.
Well, I think what's happening is pretty much what you might expect, right? And I mean, we had the commodity stocks rally for several months, and now we see the fruition of that thesis, right? With this war that a lot of people hope will end more quickly than say more than 4 weeks. I think the bulls on Wall Street say this war will end within 4 weeks or less, and the economy will manage this and move on and grow. And so we'll see how like certain sectors act in the next few weeks. It's interesting, we all ended up choosing oil and gas stocks, but actually Ed didn't really want to choose an oil stock this morning. Last night I was looking at names like PWR, like VRT, and FIX and ASML, all part of that AI data center revolution. And I feel like if these stocks hold up well, then the market should still hang in there pretty well, and we could avoid a serious correction like we had from February of April of 2025. We've spent a lot of time looking at Qs and the QQQE, and now we're starting to spend more time on like what Ed what Justin highlighted, the EQAL. Or if you look at the New York Stock Exchange composite, if you look at the zero NYC, which is not real time a market surge, I mean, you look at that chart, you would wonder like what Middle East war, right? And so I think we're really seeing a dichotomy in the market. And if I don't think it's I don't think it's time to really go short in a lot of the tech stocks, yeah, unless you're really focused on the ones that have really, really caved. I haven't looked at CRM or ADBE in a long time. Not that we're looking at those for short ideas. I'm talking about this because I saw that some people are in the Q&A want us to talk about shorts, and I think it's a good idea. But right here, for instance, with a lot of the software names, they've been weak for quite a while. So I would wait for these stocks to try to rally a little bit more and see whether they hit resistance levels like the 50-day or the falling 21-day, and maybe that could be a good short. But in the meantime, I think the AI trade is still doing okay despite like that news you highlighted with Nvidia, Ed. I mean, I'm still pretty. I have cash, but I'm still pretty heavily invested because I'm looking at like NVDA, which is still my largest position in my own principal account. And to me, this is disappointing after a really strong earnings report, after Jensen Huang highlighting that business is doing well and we're still innovating. But it's going to take time, I think, for these stocks to really set up again and really make a lot of long investors happy. So now is the time, I think, for sure, be cautious. Look for maybe some opportunities on the commodity side, but just like you said, things can move quickly, and you might have to lock in gains more quickly than you thought with some of these non-tech names. The other point I want to make too is let's take a look at zero TNX. I noticed early in the morning on CNBC that the 2-year was rising pretty sharply, and when the 2-year rises, that's a good indicator that the Fed won't cut rates, or they'll be very slow to do so. And I think going into this week, there was probably a good opportunity by something like June, July, even by June, July, that we would have 2 quarter point rate cuts, and that would take the Fed funds down to a range of 3% to 3.25%. That is very, very good for the economy and accommodative. We've seen strength in like some of the home builder names. I've been watching Toll Brothers, TOL, very closely. We haven't talked about that at length for Leaderboard, but this one had broken out and pulled back into range. I was thinking, hey, this could be a possible re-entry for Leaderboard. But now we have this situation where if commodity inflation really dents that copacetic inflation picture, then some of these inflations or economically sensitive companies might not do as well as we might have thought.
Yeah, and looking at the odds is that it's pretty likely that the Fed will not cut rates in June. And now even late July is a 50-50 bet. There's also uncertainty about who will be in charge of the Fed at this time. It doesn't seem like there's been any movement toward confirming Trump's nominee. So it could be that Powell will stick around as de facto chief. That has happened in the past with not if a nominee hasn't been if there's not a new chief, because Powell can stick around if he wants as governor for a couple of years, but he would be de facto chief, I think, in that scenario. So, and yeah, there's just a lot of things in flux right now. So, the 10-year yield coming down. Well, some of that coming down was safe haven flow. So there's that. So why don't we get right at it and Chris, let's take a look at your stock, CNX. Let's get to the energy names here. Is this more natural gas than oil? I'm not sure. I get confused on things, but I see oil and natural gas on this one.
Yeah. not what I would expect. The pre-market was showing it up, and it opened up and now has faded. So,
And USO and UNG are up. I mean, so it's not like there's been some reversal on that front.
So I'm not sure the reasons, but on a day when oil is up and this one's down, I'm not so interested in it right now.
Yeah, I saw something else saying OIH down. I don't know why. I don't know why oil services. Maybe I don't know. Maybe business is going to be halted. I mean, you can imagine if you're SLB, and you have a bunch of business in the Middle East. Well, that business may be on hold for a while. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about, maybe not. That's just me spitballing, not having any information. But at CNX, I understand you don't necessarily want to be. You may not want to buy it today. But what would get? What if it rallied to yesterday's high, or rallied, or what would it be? What interests you about this name?
I think that, well, it was setting up good cup with handle. The RS line, when it broke out, was at a new high, so it got a blue dot. If it reverses and takes out today's high, that could be something. But just the volatility of this market makes me a little nervous that, if something happens tomorrow and oil plunges, there just seems to be so much volatility going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine if the Strait of Hormuz is lifted and there's no more, even if they're still fighting, but the strait is seen as clear and missile attacks in Iran stop and LNG up, LNG production starts again, you could see all sorts of things. It makes it very, good news, from a geopolitical standpoint could be very negative for some of the things that are working. That's always fun. Justin, let's take a look at MPC.
Yeah, so I mean, this is looking like a downside reversal. So yeah, to your point, I think again, even with oil that's looking good in some case, and some of these natural gas plays, there's still a huge risk. So I think, if you're going to play, this might be one of those where you're playing very quickly, scalp trading almost to do things. And I mean, that's just not something it's something I have done in the past, and taking a quick percent or two or a little bit more here and there, but it's not something I particularly want to do right now. That does require a little bit more focus on things, and again, I just don't feel like right now I have the edge. But I think it says something when, first of all, we're all struggling to find things to talk about, and then the things that we did, find to talk about, then we're like, oh, we don't really want to talk about it anymore. So that's where we're at. And on the shorting thing, personally, I don't know that I'd be, shorting that much myself, because again, there's that volatility, because things are just, kind of getting tossed to and fro. So if I don't have an edge on the long side, a lot of times I'm not sure that I would necessarily have a better edge on the short side. And shorting is just a lot more difficult. Your timing has to be even better. Your returns, while unlimited on the long side, are limited. On the short side, while your risk is unlimited on the short side, and limited on the long side. So, you really can get yourself into some trouble on shorting if you're wrong on things. So, yeah, again, for me, it's more of a sit and wait rather than trying to play every wiggle and wobble.
And keep in mind, this is more of a refining and a selling of gasoline and other things, and diesel and things. But I will note that today, and I don't know about yesterday, but today, oil prices are up 8%, but wholesale gasoline prices are only up 5%. So that means the crack spread is less. I mean, so it's actually higher crude prices aren't necessarily good for refiners. They would love to see $5 oil and $20 gasoline or something. That would be, and to the extent that they,
That's when their margin's the wrong way, right?
So it's not just oil prices up, mean good. The other thing is that, okay, this has a lot of gas stations. Well, gas stations hate high gas prices. Why? Because then nobody goes into the store to buy all the stuff that actually makes money, because gas stations make almost no money on selling gasoline. It's just razor thin. Everything is going into the store and getting all the high margin stuff there. Yeah, maybe you get a few cents on the premium grade, but people tend to downgrade and when the prices get higher. So that's an issue for refiners. Now, on the flip side, if oil prices plunge 20%, these are not going to fall apart in the same way. But just to make it clear, refiners are just a different situation on that. So let's round out. Let's do, hey, oil machinery. Dave, this one's holding up pretty well. And again, I think it'd be loved to, I think looking on these things, you'd like to know how much is involved in the Middle East, how much is in the US, those would be something that people might want to do a little digging in. But this one's holding up very well,
It
for
really
sure.
is. And this isn't just a provider of one piece of equipment. They really elect Ed to highlight their end-to-end solutions for offshore oil and gas exploration and land-based. So they cover all the bases. And I would suspect that Technip FMC has done well because the Exxons and Chevrons in the world are really expanding their international development. So my guess is that this company is really helping the integrated majors in a big way. And if you go to the weekly chart, it's just been a phenomenal mover. When you look up until today, it was working on a 10th straight up week. And since the breakout past that base on base on base, it was working on 19 up weeks out of 21. So really, really impressive technicals and fundamentals here. We're looking at this at leaderboard as one to hold for now, even though it's crossed our 25% IBD traditional profit taking zone. It's just been so strong, Ed, that you look at the relative strength line, you look at how much space there is between the stock and the 10-week. My personal thinking is that let's try to compound our gains in the longer term by hopefully finding a good add-on buy point, and that could be either a new base or a push back to the 10-week.
Interesting. I'll also note this is reflects a matter of timing. FTI, if this were breaking out yesterday, we'd be really disappointed. It's like, oh no, it's down 3%. It's back below my buy point. You know what I mean? It's just like, but this is going up and up and up. Whereas the CNX, that was down less, so it's trying to hold around the buy point. That's only down 1%. But sometimes the timing is, it's like, this, whereas FTI, obviously it's just up and up and up. 3% is nothing. But this is why we talk, so it's just a different
Ed,
scenario there,
Dr. Ryan's got his hands up.
Oh,
He's here.
doctor,
Dr. Ryan's
please,
here.
David, please, glad to have you on for a little bit today.
Think
If you,
we're waiting
yeah,
for David
mute.
to get off mute here. Yeah.
I did that by accident. I didn't actually
Ha
mean to do that, but I don't know. Since while I'm, my 2 cents worth is, I mean, this market has been like this for months. I mean, you trade
Right.
up, and I've been just so defensive and short stocks, short market, and long a little some of the oil at Tidewater. You haven't discussed Tidewater,
I
but
mentioned in the
Tidewater,
earnings, but that looks
great.
great, obviously, yeah.
Great earnings. I mean, this is one. Remember, I was talking at, I mean, talking around 60, 62, 63 when it first came out of that base. And I just sold some this morning because, I mean, it's had a great run and extended, but I mean, this market has just been really just stay away, just go to cash. And it's been like that for, I mean, since October, we've been talking about this. Anytime you buy strength, you get burned. The only way I think you can buy strength is something that hasn't performed well, or something that the market has rotated in the last couple of months. But breakouts, they only work in areas that haven't had big moves in a long time. And so, but I, this is I think the thing that a lot of people have to get away from is trying to find something that is going to be a big winner every single day. Or I mean, it's like there are times in the market where you have to step back and not do anything. And because there are times when the market is just great, 3, 4, 5 months where everything's ripping to the upside and you can be very aggressive. But this market for the last 6 months has been you just cut back or just have a tremendous amount of cash and go slow. Because if you keep on forcing and forcing and forcing, you're just going to get burned like you're getting burned in this type of market. And so there are times where you should be out. And I think sometimes we're always looking for that next move or that next, and that's fine. But when they're not working, then you just get smaller and smaller and smaller because it's in markets like this where you can get hurt so badly and it takes a long time to come back. And so that's why I would, you should have a tremendous amount of cash and just wait until all the news, all the volatility settles down and we can get some proper bases to buy off of. But yeah, so I mean that's my 2 cents, but I guess I'm just catching up. I guess I'll be back on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I think that's a really important point. I mean, we're going to look at stocks, keep looking at stocks, and it seems like things will hold up, but it's a very, very dangerous market for sure. Chris, this isn't necessarily defensive, but let's get to defense. Let's take a look at GD. Had a good day yesterday, like so many other defense stocks. What do you think about a name like this?
What I'd be doing is, put an alert at yesterday's high or today's high, and if it reverses, that could be an entry. Again, I guess the one thing that gives me pause with the oil and the defense stocks are the fact that you're really beholden to the news day to day, and you don't know how things are gonna, I mean, how things are gonna turn overnight. And so that's the only thing that I'm nervous about. And the other part is, this one hadn't been making a move, even though there were other defense stocks, heading higher. So that's another thing that would also give me pause.
Yeah, so a lot of other names, RTX. So it's just sort of been a laggard. RTX sort of moved out and it's been trending up a little better, So yeah. Justin, what about something like Shield or UFO? Those were looking strong, strong yesterday. All both of them are coming back today, like a lot of those names.
So I'm and again, if this is where again, this is what you would expect, right? War is breaking out, missiles are flying. These are the things that you would expect to be up. But again, like what you said with the oil, you could see news coming out that would really kind of turn things around, or whether it's oil prices, whether it's and I don't know, sometimes I feel like I'm not smart enough to know how everything is pieced together. I just rely a lot on the charts, and right now the charts being a little extra volatile with a lot of names does kind of give extra concern. So yeah, I think these were looking great yesterday. The fact that they're not looking so great today, has me scratching my head a little. And when I don't understand things, and when the chart again is showing weakness like this, this isn't the follow-up move you'd expect. So it just makes me uneasy, and kind of makes me feel like poking my head back down in this whack-a-mole game.
Gotcha. Here's a name that's holding up. I don't know if you'd want to be doing anything with it, but Hatman GE. This one's sort of been holding in a buy zone for a while. That hasn't changed yet, though it could easily drop below the buy zone.
And it looks fine, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was to Dave.
Yeah. No, we can tag team on this
No,
one,
you take it.
Justin.
You take it.
Yeah, no, just briefly saying, I mean, I've been watching this one a lot and personally never made a nice profit in this one. And I think part of it is that I kind of dismissed it as a emerging big winner. So I feel it's a little kind of late in the move so far when you go back to that May 2025 breakout. You see that breakout was beautiful just as the market was coming out of its funk, you know,
Yeah.
that short bear market. So if the market were stronger today, Ed, then I would say, yeah, try to do a buy here as close as possible to the top of the base. But I would rather at this point maybe just wait and see if there's a test of the 50-day.
Gotcha. Chris, let's take a look at well, I'm going to have you look at Target, which is moving up, and there's also things like Walmart, you know. I'm gonna go discounting a little bit here. So Target obviously has had some struggles for quite a while,
Right.
and so there's that. So maybe it's a turnaround play. I don't know. The revenue and earnings are still down.
Yeah, my experience is when you've got negative earnings and sales, even for a swing trade, I mean, you could like when it retook the 21 day, you could have made a few dollars off of that, and that would have been great. But buying something and trying to hold it when it looks like this, I just think that's a waste of time. You have to be a really nimble swing trader to handle stocks like this.
Sorry, let's see here. And but what about Walmart, which that's been a leader
Yeah.
for it's not the greatest growth, but it's been decent growth, especially on last couple of quarters.
Yeah. Well, actually, go back to the go to the monthly. I'm not really checked this one out that closely, and the RS line last peaked in 2008, and it's getting close, but and definitely it's been doing well here. But again, if you go to the fundamentals, I mean, it's been acting well and outperforming, but usually stocks with numbers like that do not do that well. So
And it
it
has
just,
gone on a run too. It has gone, yeah. Well then, Justin, something like Costco, that's in a buy zone. That hasn't had a great relative strength line. Growth was a little stronger, but not jaw-dropping, strength either. But this one has earnings in a couple of days.
Yeah, so I mean that's the reason that more than anything, even putting the market aside, that's the reason why this is probably not something I'd be doing right now. But the relative strength, just as a reminder, when there is sector rotation, and with this one you have this kind of it looks like a saucer base to me. Maybe it's a little bit deeper than a saucer would normally be, but it's this long kind of drawn out. Oh no, the depth is 21%. So, a lot of times when that happens, when a market is, especially when a market is doing well, and you got to look at all the way back to May when this saucer started, and even before that, it was basing. So it kind of explains why the relative strength would be weak. It just didn't participate when the market was roaring, right? And also I mean, it was spending time below its 200-day moving average line and everything. So, sometimes with that rotation, you will find that the relative strength rating will be very low. So this is where the relative strength line can kind of help you out. When you see that relative strength line kind of take a turn, that's that's something that can be indicative that something is happening, and give you an early signal. I think you were maybe going to the technical action, and I do like to look at the RS 3 month, because sometimes that'll kind of show you, oh, if you look at more recent action, yes, you know, the 12 month isn't great because it wasn't participating, but if you look at the shorter term ones and you see that those are moving higher, that can be, again, kind of telling you that a turn is happening. And look, in the model books that Bill O'Neill created, he often reminded us that, you know, there were a lot of turnaround situations. I don't know that this is necessarily a turnaround, you know, but there are those that, again, they don't participate in a rally, and then when and they're basing during that whole time. And then when they do come out of their bases, their relative strengths are lower. Apple had a real low relative strength when it came out in 2004, because again, it was a year after the rally started in 2003 and had been basing during that time. So its relative strength was low when it came out. AutoZone was a real slow mover in 2010. The relative strength, if I remember correctly, was like about 28 or 29 when it came out of its saucer base. And yeah, that was, you know, it was just this steady mover. It was slow, but you know, very steady. And Bill bought that with a relative strength that was in the 20s. So yeah, it can happen. You have to kind of, I think, have an explanation for it, but it's not an immediate disqualifier when that relative strength rating is low, when sector rotation is going on.
Gotcha. And one more, and Hatman, this is TJX. This has been holding up reasonably well.
Up for the year versus the S&P, Ed. You know, it's really continuing to earn its stripes as a long-term leader. Even though it's not on the long-term leaders, and I say that with chagrin, because you see that earnings stability factor of 99 is the absolute worst that you can have for earnings stability, and that's totally an unfortunate consequence of their marketing debacle that resulted in a huge revolt against. Oh, I'm sorry. I take all that back. That was Target. I was confusing that way.
But there was
Totally
just this
confusing that. Take
2021,
retract,
I guess
retract.
there's all that whole thing.
Yeah,
So maybe another
nonetheless.
year, this will go down to
Yes.
20 or something. I don't know.
Exactly. And so for long-term leaders, and you're actually, everyone is staring at the three-person panel that handle, or the committee, if you will, that handles the long-term leaders. We don't look at any company that has an earnings stability factor of, say, 20 or 20 or higher, and we try to even keep it lower. The lower that 5-year factor, the better. Nonetheless, this is one where, you know, if you want to try to start a position here, there's nothing wrong with it. But obviously, with the market gyrating lower here, it's a lot tougher.
Yeah, and Ross Stores, its rival, will be reporting tonight. That one's been doing pretty well, in fact, better in terms of the stock performance lately. But that one's coming down today. And then Burlington, another rival, off-price rival, that struggled the last couple of days here going through here, but that has earnings a couple of days. So that could affect TJX, which has already reported. Just going to go look through things, SPY. So things are basically lows of the day. We're undercutting a lot of lows. We're not having undercut this low, but we're basically getting to the lowest levels in several months. The Qs, you know, that one hasn't undercut this level, but it's pretty close. And then you have all this stuff that, you know, the 200-day line, and that, you know, that also goes with the Nasdaq as well. The Nasdaq and the November low are very closely linked in here, and it looks like this might have undercut, you know, on the Nasdaq. IWM for the Russell 2000. Oh boy, that one, you know, just a few days ago was very close to highs and now is undercut lows. So this is basically lowest in a couple of months. Just to go through some of the equal, pretty sharp drop. Obviously, only now finally going through the 21-day line. So you're starting in a much better spot, but it's clearly not holding up like it had been holding up. You know, looking at RSP. Suddenly, that is plunging down to the 50-day line, something it really hasn't done since
Yeah.
November. So again, some of the areas that were holding up, it's not just that the major indexes are down. You're finally seeing some of the equal weight down. QQQE, which wasn't the greatest thing ever, let's be clear, but was holding up relatively well relative to the NASDAQ. That is coming down not that far from its 200-day line. So just a lot of losses there. USO not really changing a whole lot, up 7%. UNG off its highs, but still up very sharply for domestic natural gas. Gold is down sharply. So it seems like a lot of things, people are selling a lot of things that held up reasonably well. Silver down 11%. Bitcoin, which bounced yesterday, that's down quite a bit. So on and on. People are buying treasury. People are, they're selling treasury still. So I'm not sure what people are buying. It seems like everything is, people are selling everything. They're going to cash. I mean, they're not shifting from stocks into bonds. They're not shifting from stocks into gold. Today, they're shifting just out to cash, it seems like. Maybe I'm missing something, out there, but it's tough. So with that bright thought, let's move on. Chris, let's take a look at a couple of well, this one was one I was going to show, but Chris, Teva, that's not holding up anymore. So this one looked like it was holding up reasonably well. Not so much. I don't think I need too much of your analysis on that. GSK, which had a 3 weeks tight, or so, that one is falling. Here's something maybe just ask you to talk about XBI and IDB, which again, the war in the Middle East, not really particularly relevant to biotechs, but still you're seeing this risk off attitude, nonetheless. Is there anything, so like these are areas that people might have used for growth and they're just not working. Have anything to add on that?
I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying. The fact that it's, losing the 50 days so much, I mean, I think that that's just an example of people are want out right now because there's, really no immediate effect on biotechs from what's going on in the Middle East right now. So I think that there's just an urge to lock in gains and stand aside right now.
Let's see here. And I'm just going to throw a couple other names. I'm not going to have too much analysis, but just to show the example of things, CCJ, look, make it a strong move today, down almost 10%. I'm not saying that it can't set up again, but this is acting well. Now it's not. BWXT, also in the nuclear space, made a nice move yesterday, today down 6%. So, that's just the kind of market we're in. So all these things, I'd written down a bunch of things that I wanted people to look at today, and they're all of they're doing this. It's like, look at me, I'm going to be so prepared, and it's like, oh, that's down
Oh, there
8%. That's down
we
to,
go. Well, if you want to look at something that's really up, take a look at Battalion Oil, BATL. And this is not a tiny company. It's got
BATL. Wait.
B's in boy.
Okay.
I've never heard of this before.
Oh, why is this one going up so
I don't
much?
know.
That's there we go. So that's amazing. I'm not sure what you do with that, but it's that's great. Justin, EQIX, which is a data center REIT, this is actually holding up pretty well. They actually pay a dividend. So if you want to go for your data center slash REIT, that's sort of an like a, it's like these utilities that have gotten to data centers. It's sort of like this super safe slash super hot kind of investment.
Well, I think the risk though is, sometimes they come after everything, right?
Oh,
When
sure.
it's even the safe and like, to that point, I mean, XLP, the consumer staples today, I mean, that's down, not as much, so I mean, again, that's good. But I like one of the phrases that you use a lot, Ed, is, a relative winner can still be an absolute loser. And, at the end of the day, you have to just really kind of think about what your strategy is. Are you, for mutual funds, it's absolutely fine for them to say, oh, look, I'm down, but I'm not as down as much. But I feel like for our personal portfolios, that's very little consolation. If you're down, you're losing money. And, anything we can do to avoid that is good. So yeah, I think if, again, if you have to be buying something, that's something that looks good where, maybe it is a little bit of a safe haven. Maybe it has some protection, but, there's always that concern that, okay, if they're coming after everything, then, eventually they'll get to some of this too.
Yeah, and on the flip side, this may not have as much upside. If it's holding up, it might be seen safer. Like if there's this sudden, everybody loves data centers, presumably this would rally, but would it rally like some of the other names? So like, oh, there's always that. So they
And you get back into a risk on environment, and yeah, where's the money going to come from? All those places it was hiding. So, yeah,
yeah.
it does make it tricky. And on the hedging thing, just real quick, because Chris did mention that the hedging, I think that's again a great way, especially when you're in, taxable accounts, to preserve some of those, gains that you might have in stocks, and that the hedge can really help you kind of, keep a stock and not sell it, so you don't have the tax consequence. But for me, since I do a lot of trading in retirement accounts, rather than doing the hedging, since my cost basis just doesn't really matter, there's not a tax consequence. So a lot of times, my hedge is cash, just raising extra cash.
Very good. Let's see here. Maybe somewhere, maybe nothing's working on Earth. David, why don't we take a look at PL, Planet Labs, sort of in the space stock space. This has been holding up reasonably well. It's getting close to profitable, but that doesn't seem like the profits are actually going to happen in the near future either.
Yeah, it's really the last couple quarters plus that amazing breakout since September that puts this one on our interplanetary radar, right, Ed?
Yeah.
And I wonder if a lot of their business is tied to espionage and military applications, not just for commercial and civilian, and hence helping, the geopolitics helping this company.
I do not know. That's a good question. That's, or it could be, yeah, or that,
Yeah. Well, let's let well, I'll try to dig up a little bit, and of course, our amazing audience might have some points to make. But overall, I like how, Ed, the quarterly sales have been sequential growth, not just year-over-year growth and accelerating. Looks like there could be a path to profitability earlier than what the street thinks. And you've got a nice looking base so far. So definitely add this to a watch list right now.
yeah. Another name, David, I'm going to stick with you,
Sure.
ASTS. It did have earnings. It's moving up. I mean, there's the 50-day line, which sort of lines up with this. I mean, this seems extremely, I feel bad bringing it up. I feel almost like dangling car keys and whiskey to teenage boys, to sort of, to do a, kind of thing.
Not just boys, to anyone, right?
I know, but come on. I mean, like that's I'm sort of
Well,
paraphrasing
what?
PG O'Rourke a little bit
Oh,
with that.
okay. That's good. That's good.
So there it does not it, this just makes me very scary, but there is I just wanted to bring this one up because it you could imagine with one good day it would start looking a little bit like Planet Labs. Not the same. I don't want to, but
Well, first things first, Ed, let's just make sure everyone knows that you and I are both fans of PJ O'Rourke. His
yeah.
writing is supremely witty and making me think, is that where you got a lot of your wit inspiration? So ASTS is definitely on my watch list as well, because of this area is so interesting. When you think about the government and you think about SpaceX's success, possibly going to be one of the big blockbuster IPOs this year. Who knows? We'll see. And then you've got Karman, KRMN, you've got ASTS, you got ATRO. Who knows? Will nuclear energy be important to to help this industry in the future too, not just, you know, solid and liquid fuel and all that stuff. But this is a very exciting area that I'd like to personally capitalize on too, and would hope everyone keeps an eye on this area. So going back to ASTS, let's look at the weekly and then the monthly and see where we are in terms of the trajectory. You can see that this stock is not easy to trade because you have this massive breakout right in the spring of 2025, and then it gives all of it back. You have a massive breakout in the third quarter of 2025, and it gives it all back. So I think the weekly chart really tells us a lot about the personality of the stock and therefore how to trade it.
And so that's why definitely this is like if one were to buy it, it would be off of pullbacks and stuff, but it's just such a crazy market, you know, and right now.
Another interesting thing too, Ed, if you go back to the weekly chart, is one of the most critical things I learned from base analysis from William O'Neill is looking for that 6 week drop. And you see that this was exactly 6 weeks from around near the top. You've got 6 down weeks in a row, and it stopped. And it stopped at a round number. And now you're expecting the stock to not only bottom out, hopefully around 80, but also maybe start to actually sculpt the right side of the base. So I'm glad you brought this one up, Ed. And this one, in addition to PL and in addition to KRMN, I think people would maybe benefit from keeping an eye on the triumvirate there.
Let's take a look, Chris, at Apple.
Okay.
This one, and I think they have an event tomorrow where they're probably going to reveal some stuff. I don't think it's supposed to be an amazing wow event, but they're going to release some new products and stuff. And so it may not be a non-event because people sort of know what's coming. But nonetheless, they're having an event tomorrow. But this has sort of been hanging in there, but I'm not sure what to think.
Let's go to the monthly again. This is
Oh.
my problem with Apple. Even though it's been going up, the RS line has been going sideways. And even from that last peak, in 2023, it hasn't taken that out. So this just again, to me, this is why this is a swing trading stock. I wouldn't buy it to hold because, otherwise it makes more sense just to hold SPY and you'll get a lot less volatility with that. But let's go back to the daily. So if you're looking at this as a swing trade, I mean that volume the other day when it came down, that the red spikes are higher than the blue spikes recently, so that would give me pause. If you're really committed, I think that if it can retake the 21 day, maybe start a position and then draw a down trend line in the handle and that could be another area to go with. But I gotta say, I don't think I've traded Apple in years just because it does, offer some swing trades. But overall, when I look at that chart, it just doesn't seem like something that's got a lot of power.
Well, here's something that I wanted to bring up to the panel. Zero VIX is spiking quite a bit today. Now we don't know where it'll close, and it could keep on going higher. I haven't looked. This might be a few minutes delayed, so I don't know where it is now. It's probably higher than right here, but it's getting close to these, areas, certainly, but nowhere near where we were here. I mean, so it's just something. I mean, their fear is picking up, but some of that's a no duh. I mean, like why wouldn't fear pick up, in this environment,
Right.
but and so much is just news on the ground. It can get a lot worse. I mean, but seems so I saw some people bringing it up, and obviously, if if oil prices go to 100 because people really feel like all the energy is going to be choked off, and then you really start worrying
Right.
about the economy and blah blah blah, all those things should get a lot worse, even if some of those things don't actually come out to pass. So but it's just it is it, no it's I'm glad that the markets are showing some fear. It'd be a little bit, what the heck are you doing if the VIX wasn't picking up? That would make me almost unnerved myself. But so there's that. Justin, there's BTU. So this is making a move. This is an energy play that could be doing well. The numbers are looking terrible, but coal tends to go up and down. It's supposed to have an amazing year next year, this year.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe this is a form of energy that comes on. But again, back to your point initially, let's say things change dramatically. Does that kind of dash the hopes of a bullish move, for the area? So again, this could be subject to the volatility of anything else. So without again having done a lot of research on what the prospects are and let's admit it, sometimes I'm lazy, right? And I just go off the chart and use that as my research. If the chart looks right, then I assume that the market has done the research and is getting it right. But with the market right now, I think that's going to be very difficult, with things changing so much. So again, do I have an edge here? No. So while it's looking interesting, I don't know that I'm going to be doing anything with it.
All right. Here's a name that we often don't look at, haven't looked at for a while, but Hatman, MSI, Motorola Solutions.
It's like this is. Is this a
Are
company
you
that
around, David?
might also be going into SpaceX possibly?
You're not on mute, but.
Is your mic up? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there
Put
we
that
go.
boom down. There you go.
I was multitasking with Ken's. My bad. Totally my bad. Thanks, guys. Yeah, no. Isn't this here again? Sort of riding this nice move among telecom gear, fiber optic, and satellite. I really don't know what's driving that nice acceleration in the top line and the bottom line. But great that you found this one on the show here, Ed. I think. I would suspect the weekly chart looks even better in terms of that cup with handle.
It does and it doesn't, I guess you could argue. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's part of an even longer base. So I'm very impressed with the fact that here I was highlighting a Bill O'Neill rule, if not a rule, but a pattern that he saw with companies that form good bases. You generally see the stock, take about 6 weeks to form the left side of the base. Well, on the right side of the base, you want to see up week after up week after up week. And that's exactly what Motorola has done here. So when you have four, five, six, seven, eight up weeks in a row, that is clear institutional buying. And you see that there was accelerating volume on many of those up weeks and a couple above average. So I like this. I think this week also could be the genesis of a new handle, Ed, with a potential second breakout.
Yeah. Chris, another name in this sort of space, sort of a UI, I mean, not exactly, very volatile. The owner owned the CEO or chairman owns almost all the stock, so this has huge swings.
Right.
But so that, but it has pretty strong growth. And it's wireless tech. I think there's been in pretty high demand lately.
Yeah, it's definitely one I've been watching, hit the 1 minute chart just to show that, an $800 stock that trades like under $500,000 a day, it's going to be pretty gappy.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty gappy. Does this interest you, or is this sort of a no-go in this current market, you know?
Well, like I said, I had been watching it. This could be the start of a handle. So I'll continue watching it. The prior earnings weren't great. I mean, there was a gap down. That's always an issue. But if it can break out of this and kind of say goodbye to that gap down, then that would be a good sign.
All right. Staying in the telecom space, but a little more defensive, Justin, can look at T and Verizon. And Verizon clearing a little shelf here, it seems like. And T has been acting well. They've coming on, they both come on really strong since their last earnings report. Really strong moves in for those names. Not a
Yeah.
whole lot of growth.
Well, and another example too, you see the low relative strength, and that might be something that you pass just automatically because of that. But here again, if there is sector rotation going on, and look, that this was kind of going on a little bit earlier. It's not like it just started with with the activity in Iran. This was something that was really kind of catching our attention because of the dramatic move off the bottom here. And I do like the kind of settling down right here, because a lot of times when you come up that strongly from the bottom, it does make sense for a little bit of consolidation of those gains. I mean, that's a pretty sharp move up. So yeah, I like the fact that it's kind of consolidating those gains, and I think is something to watch. You have a even healthier dividend from that REIT we were looking at earlier.
Yeah,
This is
4%.
almost 4%. So again, I don't know if it's the business that's attracting folks, or is it the dividend that's attracting folks? Because for a while there, we were seeing a lot of dividend paying stocks were getting money. And so I don't know, again, I don't know the reasons behind it. And Verizon, I don't think Verizon's dividend is as large. Oh, it's even
No.
larger.
Wow, really
Excuse
huge.
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me. Well, so yeah, again, I don't know, again, if this is the business or is it the dividend that's attracting investors.
Yeah, I mean there were some positive things out of the earnings reports. I can't remember all that. The wireless subscriber expectations were higher than expected. I don't remember the details, but and it is interesting that they're still doing well given that treasury yields are rising. I mean, it's one thing when treasury yields were falling, you say, oh, okay, well,
Yeah.
let's go into REITs. But I mean, this is a nice yield, but it's not that much better than say, the 10-year yield now. I'm just, it's just a difference. I mean, it's obviously just at the margin. We're only at 4.1. It was a week ago, it was at 4, so it's not like a huge difference, but
And again, I haven't dug into the earnings reports, but that does seem like it was the catalyst for both of these. You
yeah.
look at where the earnings report is, and that's exactly where the move started, right? So, something obviously changed at that point.
It's interesting that T-Mobile, which is always growing faster, I think they're finally seeing some slowdowns. That one did get a bounce, and I think they first rallied off of the Verizon AT&T, and they have continued going up, but that's more of a laggard now than even though they've, then you see the earnings have fallen because this was the one that was growing at a much faster pace than AT&T and Verizon. So there's been a little bit of a shift. Going to more defensive, having or at least, fairly steady AHR. This one continues to just hold up very nicely, amid all the volatility out there.
I'm really glad you asked me, Ed, to talk about this one because, as I'm doing prep for the upcoming webinar on how to build conviction, one of the topics I wanted to address is what areas of the economy and the stock market should we going forward develop a strong level of knowledge in the companies, in these industries, and a conviction so that we can get some real market beaters. And I think AHR really fits the bill right now. I've been starting to look closely, not just beyond AI data center, which will be a topic that I'll discuss during that webinar on March 14th, but also these long-term care plays, because they just have much better charts looking right now. This is definitely in the buy zone. We've had Dr. Ryan talk about this. It's just that what I don't like right now recently in terms of short-term action is that negative reversal after a new high in heavy volume. That was just 2 days ago, Ed, and you can see that that was an outside day. That's kind of not what you would expect after a breakout. You'd actually expect the polar opposite. You'd expect a sell-off in the morning and then a strong rebound by the end, and an outside day that points to the upside rather than the downside.
Yeah. Another name that's not exactly in that spot, but would be somewhat similar, Welltower, not holding in the buy zone, but obviously holding up relatively well. I don't know all the things
For
with the
sure.
FFO and why it was down, but it seems like there's some positive trends to the fundamentals overall.
Yeah, and that one, in addition to, is Brookdale doing well these days? Brookdale, BKD. That one recently had ants. BKD. Yeah, there you go, Brookdale. So, as we've talked about on the show, when you have a multitude of ants, you should generally expect a pullback, and that's exactly what's happened here. But for a lower price stock, this stock has been a real winner, and it's liquid. It's probably, how much, over $70 million volume right now, and it's not the greatest fundamentals, but boy, it's got the relative strength. So, going back to Well, like to definitely read up more on this, because this company has had multi-year runs going back to the 2000 to 2002 tech bear market. Saw this stock actually really show a lot of relative strength and be the anti-tech stock. So that's certainly been the case in recent years too.
All right. Chris, let's go to R&R, Renaissance RE, going into insurance. Getting a little defensive here, but this one's been holding up pretty well, very tightly, in the last several weeks.
Yeah, I just you look at the RS line and it's, in a downtrend. So at best, this would be a possible swing trade. But and actually, if you go back to the daily, the last time it came down to the 50-day and the 10-day, the 21-day were stacked nicely there, and then it started moving. So for me, this would just be a swing trade. I would never try to hold it for a longer term gain.
Let's see here. Justin, I'd like David's, I think everyone's panel, but definitely David's view too. Like Nvidia, to me, this one feels really important in the sense it's not falling as much as some of these others, but maybe it already got so whacked these other days, because of earnings, that that's the only reason why it's not getting whacked, because it already took good
It
hit a
took his
lot.
hits.
But it does feel like you could imagine that, oh no, we're capitulating. Well, Nvidia's not capitulating. Nvidia's, so that could be a good thing or a bad thing. If you're maybe this is showing a sign of strength, but you could easily imagine tomorrow it falls 10%. I'm just throwing out something crazy. You know what I mean? Something, if you want, so this could be a positive, or you could, or if you want to be, a negative Nilly, you could say, well, I'm waiting for this one to sell off and really break before we see a change in sentiment. I don't know how you feel about this.
Well, I mean, while Nvidia is very important for the market, I think we can look at other stocks too. And again, the damage that's being done and things that were holding up well and just aren't now. One of the things that's fairly remarkable is the international, where it was, how well international was doing, and you got VXUS and EEM, both taking it on the chin today, pretty dramatic. So VXUS again is the global market minus the US, and EEM is emerging markets. So both of these were holding up pretty well and trending above their 21-day moving average lines, and just looking very different today. So while I'm encouraged by Nvidia holding up, with a lot of things that were working, the equal weights not looking as good, all of those things, it's very little consolation for me at this point. But I appreciate the optimism you have there, Ed.
I was just trying to throw something out here because it
Yeah,
was notable that it was
it's
not. You know, you're a negative person. You know, Mike Webster's very negative. I try to stay positive on things.
You're always
You're the
positive,
balance,
Ed.
Ed. You're the balance. Yes,
I'm
exactly.
more like
Yeah.
the devil's advocate and going, whatever everybody else
So,
is saying, I'll say the opposite, you know, being so,
I mean, so many times you've been accused of being a Pollyanna, but yes. But yeah, no, I think it
Touché.
is. I think it is interesting. I'm always interested in seeing the things that are holding up, right? Again, they might be absolute losers, but it is, important to kind of see where the relative strength is, what things hold up. The things that are up are maybe a little bit more suspicious because, again, is it news that's pushing it up? But the things that are just kind of not reacting as much, I think those are important to look at. And I do I do take some comfort in the fact that Nvidia is holding its 200-day moving average line, that it's remaining an inside day. There's a lot to kind of like about that. The 2% move when you're seeing things, a lot of things down 7, 8, 9, 10%, it's
Yeah, like TSM. I mean, why shouldn't TSM is the calm version of NVIDIA in some way. Oh, no, it's not. Down 6%. SanDisk, that's heading toward its 50-day line all of a sudden. I mean, finally breaking through the 21-day line. Micron. So some of these names that were so strong for so long. So yeah, absolutely. It's just tons of things. I thought your point about overseas and stuff. I don't know about the energy situation. Like, U.S. drills enough oil. I mean, we do some exporting, even though, like, I mean, we might import here and there, but basically we can handle our own thing, you know. So that's not such a big deal. Natural gas, we've got it handled already. Yeah, we might export some, so they're going to see some higher prices, but we're going to have enough natural gas, so we don't have that threat. Whereas a lot of countries may have threats, you know, like I can imagine, obviously Europe very dependent on that, but I assume a lot of Asian countries we're relying a lot on LNG, and that's pretty high priced already, and so. Yeah, I can imagine a lot of places going up. It's, you know, it doesn't help that other commodities like steel and copper. So a commodity country like EWZ, Brazil, that's getting whacked. You know, like you would think, oh, okay, you know, how, why is Brazil getting whacked? Well, you know, I mean, it's sort of everything's getting hit. I mean, coffee, you know, coffee's actually only down 1%, but there's obviously
Take a
other things
look at
going on.
EWJ as well, Ed. This is a developed, number four economy. It's behind Germany now, but Japan's also getting whacked too because they don't produce their own oil.
Yeah, and so like I assume they get a lot of, and I assume that's part of the reason with Korea too, why that got hit so hard. I don't know. So there's a
Exactly.
lot of
They're
things going
very
on.
export dependent. And import
So,
dependent.
yeah, so I mean, as much as we're seeing the energy prices here, it's just nothing like what we're seeing elsewhere. And of course, other commodities are getting killed. I mean, I'm seeing platinum down 12%. I'm seeing, you know, silver down plus thing. Dr. Copper is down only 2.7% here, though. So that's not too bad, but copper doesn't tend to swing as much as gold and silver. But that's still not a good move. And so
But
we're
you have
seeing.
something like SCCO. I mean, that's one of those that's was looking good. SCCO,
I just typed it in wrong. Yeah.
that's down almost 10% today. And again, it was looking just fine,
Yeah. Alcoa, I'm just
yesterday.
going to take a look at that. You know, Alcoa. That was looking pretty good the last few days. You know, down 7%. Now maybe it bounces back, but yeah. Steel Dynamics, which I think I may have shown very briefly, that made a nice sort of move yesterday. It's down. I mean, again, and could we whipsaw by the end of the day or tomorrow or next week? Sure. And then we could whipsaw the other way. I mean, depending on what the headlines are in the next few days. So with all that cheery thoughts, I'm going to do a little bit of a wrap up of things. Let's EQAL, you know, that had been holding up pretty well. Again, starting at an all-time highs, but it's having a bad day. Somebody else brought up that UN, you know, NYSE Composite, which is trading so tightly, right down below the 50-day line. You know, there you go. RSP down to the 50-day line. QQQE, which is not as strong as these name, but that's getting down to the 200-day line. And now for the more and more events, SPY. That's undercutting a lot of lows. Did it undercut lows? Yes, it did. It got all the way down to the lowest level. I didn't look at the S&P, but we're basically at the lowest level since late November. Qs, you know, that's that undercut as well. So that's the lowest level since late November, getting close to the 200-day line. NASDAQ as well, just to show that one, getting very close to the 200-day line, getting very close to undercutting this level. So we'd be getting close to, September levels if we get under that. Dow, that one is, again, just a few days ago, this was looking pretty strong and has really fallen quite a bit. CNX. Hey, Chris, enough of the gloomy
All
gusters.
right, let's go.
So that one is bouncing back again. There's a lot of reasons why this one is almost all natural gas, as it is in. But MPC, that's holding up. So it had reversed lower. It's holding up here. FTI, which obviously has done very well, that's down a little bit, but just riding its 10-day line on a huge run. TDW, that's well off highs, but it's gone on a big run. General Dynamic, it's not terrible. It's only down 1%. So I just want something to look at, but and its RS line is a new high, but it's lagging some of its peers. Shield, this ETF is down. UFO, that's down a little bit more. I don't know all the things. The space names, some of them are down pretty hard today. TGT moving up. The numbers aren't really great. Walmart holding in there, but it's actually pretty pricey for a company that has single-digit sales growth. Costco, they'll have earnings in a couple of days. We looked at XBI, some of the that's trying to come off lows, but it's still terrible. Things that were looking good yesterday, a lot of them are having hits. There was this wild name. Somebody talked about there's a private placement on this. I don't know what's going on, but that one's awfully strong. PL is doing well. T. T is holding up, Verizon's holding up, but we're in desperate days when we're talking about telecoms. Like that, AHR is holding up well. Well has been doing pretty well, so that one's down today. So with all that, Chris, final thoughts, tickers from you.
Well, let's go back to Zero NYC, the NYSE composite, because this one had actually been I hadn't looked at it in a while, and it just had been holding its 21-day and moving higher when everything else was going back and forth. But Lawrence, asked in the Q&A, is this the beginning of a vertical violation? And this, I mean, this looks like it. I don't know if it'll continue like this, but this is a big change in the overall look of the NYSE. So I would definitely take that into account.
Yeah, and so that's something is that's again a lot of the safe havens look a lot less safe haven-y. I mean, some are holding up pretty well, energy, but the fact that energy stocks or some of them are struggling to rise when oil prices are up 8%, it's like really? But yeah, so and so any other final thoughts or that's
Well, actually, if we could go to Micron, because this is another one that I'd taken my hedge off the last couple days, and now it gapped down. Now I'm back fully hedged, and if you look on the weekly, it's hitting the 10-week already. So and I think doesn't look like it on the daily, but there's a little bit of a possible look of a double bottom on the daily, although I don't it
it would
probably
have to undercut. It would have to go down a lot more to get to
it
that.
probably won't meet the criteria because of that spike up in early February that then reversed exactly right there. So but it's made a big move and it deserves to base, and so I'm going to try to sit with it.
All right. Hatman, final thoughts, tickers from you.
Okay, good. Mic's in place. So, going to look at the Dow, I think last check, every stock was down within the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is probably no surprise on a day like this. Well,
That
maybe
Dow
Chevron
certainly looks
and
different, huh?
Well,
From when it was holding up, just and we were like,
it
oh, look at it at
does.
highs, right?
Exactly, Justin. And we covered VZ. We didn't look at Chevron CVX, I don't think, Ed, but that one is at least it's up 1.7% for the week. So that's a good sign for
These are
the oil
producers, so they should
plays.
be benefiting from the higher prices. You know, I mean, yeah,
Yes.
they sell some stuff and they're refining, so that's going to mute their gains a little bit if there's a crack spread. But yeah, the producers should be benefiting, you would think.
Exactly. And then let's go to a weekly chart. I just want to quickly show ask you to show Caterpillar CAT. This is the largest point dropper on the Dow, and yet looks like a normal pullback toward the 10-week line. I don't think there's a sell signal there. Let's look at Goldman Sachs, GS, on the weekly chart. This one certainly a different complexion, right? This is looking like it's really going to form a base and test the top of that flat base that you just highlighted. And then, because we talked a little bit about interest rates, Sherwin-Williams, SHW, this is the third worst decliner. There are at least five stocks on the Dow that are down 10 points or more. So that's having, a disproportionate impact on this price-weighted index. And you can see that that breakout didn't work out from a saucer-like base, and sort of really affirming what Dr. Ryan was talking about, how breakouts are highly risky. KRMN, I want to highlight this. We talked a little bit about the aerospace. I had neglected, I totally forgot that I put a tiny buy on this one as it crossed the
Which company?
50-day line. Karman, KRMN, Karman. And I'll probably have to sell this today because it just had a wicked reversal. You can see that today and trading near the moving averages, but this is kind of expectation break for me, even though the stock is still kind of trying to make that right side of the base. So nothing really much to add in terms of the market, and except let's see whether sentiment indexes change. We highlighted very, very low bearishness among the pundits, and 60% plus bullishness in the investors' intelligence ratio. If these cross in time, not maybe not in the next week, maybe not in the next month, that could be bullish for going long in the future. But let's not try to predict that. Let's just see the market for what it is. And definitely, I'm glad you brought up the VIX too. That's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, and we always say these are secondary indicators. You want, I mean, it sort of like gives you a little color, like it's sort of like a tiebreaker or something. You know, oh well, okay, that gives me a little bit of that, but it's the major indexes and leading stocks that we talk about. That those are the primary indicators. If you use secondary indicators, they are secondary. Don't say, yes, the stocks are going in free fall, but I see the VIX up or I see this up, I'm going to buy. It's like, don't. That's not how. Even proponents of secondary indicators wouldn't be saying that. So, in any case, Justin, why don't you take us home?
Well, go
Maybe
ahead and leave the VIX
maybe take us
up.
home so I can hide somewhere.
Right.
So exactly.
Go ahead and leave the VIX up, because this is one of the things I was going to point out is, where the VIX is up at those levels that we saw in October, November. Remember some very dramatic, drops that we saw in the indexes on those days. We keep on referring to the October 10th and the November 20th. So we're right up there on the VIX level. But as a reminder, things can get worse, right? The VIX can spike, and then it can spike more, and then it can spike more, like what we saw in April. If you had said, "Oh, look, the VIX is up," and it spiked,
Certainly this
so
day, certainly on this.
exactly. There's so many examples of that. I mean, 2008 is kind of the poster child where, yeah, it spiked to, astronomical levels, and then it went further. What we like to see is kind of the reversals, the downside reversals in the VIX. And that's where you can kind of start saying, oh, okay, well, let me see if a low is being reached. But a lot of people are wondering, okay, is this the capitulation that we needed? Because again, this sideways action, the hard part about it is, it's one thing like in February of last year and March, it was easy to stay out, right? Because it was kind of obvious, right? We were in a downtrend. This has been a little bit trickier because, there have been these mixed signals. So many stocks not just doing well, but doing phenomenally well. The equal weighted index is doing well. The international stocks doing well. We had all these things that were still doing well. So it was just kind of like, oh, well, if you ignore the NASDAQ and don't play that, you're going to be fine. But Now again, it's kind of equal opportunity to destruction in more areas, I guess. So that's something that is, and it's not unusual for that to happen, right? You have your first ones that kind of are the canary in the coal mine, and then more people start dropping, and then you if you wait until that happens, then you've got a real problem. So also, some folks were wanting to, look at the dollar. UUP is one way to look at
And
the
this gets
dollar.
broken. You can't necessarily trust it because there's some weird stuff that happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it didn't fall like this on
Right.
that day. Okay, but it's very useful on a day, the last couple of days, yes.
Yeah, so just seeing a short term, yes, okay, a lot of movement to the dollar, TLT, in terms of, kind of looking at the bonds and what's happening there. So remember we have the TLT is we look at the zero TNX or our 10-year treasury yield, and then the TLTs, and what is the leveraged one? Is it TMF?
TMV.
Yeah, TMF and TMV. So that kind of gives you a vision of what's happening on the bond market. And again, remember those are in inverse. When people are buying bonds and the bond prices are going up, then the yields are going down, and vice versa. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of, I feel like, cross currents here. Yes, you can be, finding things that are holding up. The shippers, for instance, STNG. You would
Sure.
imagine, like with certain areas being kind of shut down, okay, well, yeah, these guys are going to be doing a lot more transportation. You got 90% increase in natural gas. Well, yeah, let's get some of these transporters in gear to bring stuff where it needs to go. But again, as you said, you could also see that change very quickly if something happens where, oh, things are calming down. Now, I don't know that that's something that's going to happen anytime soon. But yeah, there's a lot of cross currents. And so, for me, again, I just feel like sometimes I'm not smart enough to understand all those cross currents. And so cash seems like a safer place to be. And then when things become a little bit more obvious, whether they, fall more and we start seeing, some more reversals, you maybe trickle in, and then you let the market tell you, okay, if your things are working, then you buy more, and if they're not, then you back away quickly.
Yeah, I mean the time there was times to buy last year, like April through, say July or something like that. There was a lot of gains to be had. You didn't want to be buying from February to April. You didn't
Right.
want to be and October through now has been tough. So like there are times to buy, there are times that are okay, there are times that are really tough. And this one seems like really tough. There may be some areas to go well, but those could reverse. It makes it very difficult.
Yeah, it was a very
But
good point by David Ryan in that regard.
yes.
And it's a good reminder that a lot of times when we look at like a 30% year, or 20% year, a very strong year, most of the gains are in a very in a limited time. It's not like it goes straight up in a linear fashion the whole year, like last year. You had a very ugly period and then a very good period, and then the end of the year, not great at all.
Yeah,
So,
so this is when you wanted to be trading, kind of thing. Yeah, or certainly in this area, you might have waited and say, "I'm going to wait." Okay, I'm going to wait till almost here, but May
And
to
that's when
May.
we had the power trend, right? We had the power trend in our favor, all of those things right now. What was the David Ryan term that he coined? A power outage. We've got the 21-day trending below the 50-day moving average line. So again, it's at least for the Nasdaq, this is not where you want to be.
Yeah, and we are very some critical levels for the Nasdaq. The Nasdaq breaks through that. That's basically the last support for quite a while. That's the 200-day line. That's here. So with all that, we're gonna, we will have today's show up at investors.com/IBDLive. Very shortly, a few hours from now, we'll add the IBD Live recap, which will include a link to today's edited Q&A, as well as ready and watch list. You still got to keep on working on the watch list. The watch lists are going to go through a lot of turnover, But that's where a lot of the work has got to be. I mean, you be patient out there in trading, but keep on working on things. Pay attention to what's working, what's not, what's holding up, in various ways. Later on, this afternoon, Ali Coram and Ken Shreve will be there with the Stock Market Day video. And tomorrow, Ali will be back in the chair. Hope everyone has a great trading day, and we will see you tomorrow.